Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. And this is Ashland Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 273. It is the last week of June 2019. I'd like to thank you for coming along, downloading the show. Those of you who are the loyal listeners of the podcast, thank you so much for coming back. I know it's been, I think, since the first week of May, since the last show. And the reason for that is just I've been busier than a one-armed paper hanger, busier than a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest. A lot of stuff's been going on in my life, and just haven't had the time to produce a show. But I'm utilizing some time right now in the car, coming back from a employee orientation session for a new job that I secured, and I have some time in the car, so I'm going to record, at least produce this episode, at least part of it. So on May 17th of this year was my last day working as a police officer in the Commonwealth of Virginia. That last day was the end of a 27-year career all told. I started back in 1992. I worked for a different agency, and I've retired from the Hanover County Sheriff's Office, which is part of the Richmond metro area. Some of y'all that have listened to the show for a long time have picked up on that along the way. Some people I've communicated with directly over email who kind of figured things out. So May 17th was my last day, and over the last, this is the sixth week I've been off, I used what we call PTO, or I work paid time off. I still have a lot of other annual leave that I'm going to be compensated for, but I thought it'd be a nice way to end my career by having a nice buffer between police career and starting a new career. And I actually kind of started a job search in the late spring, maybe mid-spring, and never really got all that serious about it. I just kind of figured, if something comes along, I'll look at it. And, something did about 2 weeks ago, maybe about 2.5 weeks ago, I got a nice offer from a company, and I decided to take that. And so today was my orientation, just 3 hours. It was not a full day because I'm actually not starting till the week of July 8th. I kind of got that worked out, but I wanted my first day to be in June because it's a health benefit situation. And so I feel really good. I had a good experience with that, and maybe as time goes on, I'll talk more about that. I just want to make sure things are going to work out before I start talking about my new career. But it is in the private sector, so I'm going to be doing what they call double dipping, dipping in a pension plan, Virginia retirement system, and then dipping on a new salary. That's the term double dip, if you've never heard that. So I'm pretty excited. It's bittersweet leaving a police career. I've worked with some incredible people at Hanover, just some incredible professionals, very committed to public service. But it's the kind of job that, at least the stuff that I did, work in, for the most part, child sexual exploitation cases. It tends to have a shelf life. Now, I could have transferred into something else. However, I thought it was time to do something different. I had the age, 50. I turned 50 back earlier in May. And then I had the years of service. Actually, I say 27, but when it comes down to it, I think it's 26 years, 11 months, and about 13 days. So just a few days short of a true 27 years. I actually started July 20th, 1992, and my last day is actually today. Today is June 28th. And it's the last day of me being on the county payroll. So all that is included in service. So I guess you could say I'm maybe 20 days short of a true 27 years. But it's funny that as I got closer and closer to my eligibility date for Virginia retirement system, police retirement, which we can go at 50 if you have hazardous duty, which is what police work is, or firefighting. my eligibility date was June 1st, and as I got closer and closer to that date, you know, working and having an even 27 years of service started to mean a lot less. I understand how some people want to work. Oh, I want to do 30 years so I can always know I had 30 years. It's like, well, you know, I had 26 years, 11 months, and whatever days. I just round that up to 27 because it's close enough for me. And that's good enough for me. I had the eligibility, and it's time to move on. So with all that being said, that's why I've been so busy. I have been off. I've been traveling with my family. We did trips to Charlotte, North Carolina, actually my daughter and I, to visit some family friends. Spent several days down there. We went to Jackson, Mississippi for a wedding, which was real nice. Went to Asheville, North Carolina. Just my wife and I. We had to take my daughter down to a program that she works in right after she graduated from high school. She didn't go to the beach or anything like that. She works in this program down for the YMCA on Black Mountain, North Carolina. And we had to literally drive her down there the day of her graduation because... and that's a 6.5 to 7 hour drive. So we spent several days down there, flew to Jackson, Mississippi, saw all my family down there, my mom's side. Did the Asheville trip, which was for almost a week. That was week before last. And then, of course, the World Cup started, the Women's World Cup. And I've been watching a lot of World Cup matches and on DVR. So I've been kind of I've watched some live and I've watched others on DVR. And so that's why I've been so busy. I keep telling myself I need to put together a podcast and, you know, get something together for my listeners because Roswell Rebecca, who is very closely related to Roswell Bryan, the former Ashlyn Bryan, she actually called me out. We actually visited with them in Asheville, and Bryan and Rebecca, they came up from Roswell. We met them in Asheville, and she was telling me that she had not seen a new episode out yet. I said, I know, I've been so busy. I just have not had the time to sit down, stand up, lie down, whatever, go running enough to produce a show. So here I am. Now, that's what's been going on the personal side and professional side. So let's talk about the running a little bit. Well, of course, the did not finish for the 100 miler. I've definitely gotten past that. I've talked about it a few times with some of my running friends, and I've come to the conclusion that it's something that I definitely want to try again someday. I just don't know when. I definitely know that 100-mile attempts are not going to be something in my regular routine because of just how hard they are for my ability level. I really like the 50-mile distance even more now because that's something I can achieve. But obviously I would look for 100K, something that would be manageable and that I think I would succeed at to get some more experience past that 50-mile mark, which is really what I need to get more experience at. So I've been really doing just some little runs to stay in shape. I've been hitting the gym a little bit more. I've kept my weight down right around 202. I was, believe I was 201 when I did the 100. My goal was to try to get, when I attempted, didn't finish the 100. My goal was to get around 200. But so the weight loss that I got in training for the 100-mile attempt, I've been able to stick with. And I'm convinced that I've, with doing this, the runs I've been doing, which have just been 3-mile runs twice a week during the weekdays, and then on the weekend with my group, I do kind of 5 to 6. We've got a new guy in our group that we're trying out named Brad. He's definitely going to work out. Wife runs a yoga studio right there in the downtown area of Ashland, and they're relatively new to town, not to the Richmond metro area. But he contacted me, knew that I did running. He's a faster runner, and was a Boston qualifier, so that puts him in a different league than me. However, you know, I've warned him. I said, hey, man, we're going to do these longer, slow runs on Saturdays. You're welcome to join us. It's just they're going to be at a slower pace with kind of an interval. I mean, he said he was fine with that. So I've been doing, anyway, I've been convinced that the gym workouts along with the running, which sometimes is a little bit more enjoyable because it breaks it up. I think that's really what's been helping me keep the weight right around where I want it to be. And I work out over at the Randolph-Macon College Brock Center. I still have access to that with my affiliation to law enforcement. So I'm training for the Patrick Henry Half Marathon. I have not signed up for that yet. I do need to do that. What's been holding me back is the job that I secured is a job that your availability pretty much needs to be 7 days a week. It's not in public safety, but the nature of the job would be that I would work some weekends out of the month. So I would need, which is fine. I mean, my daughter's going to be going off to college. I don't need to necessarily be home every night and you know, every time on the weekends to do her activities. I'll make plans to go to stuff that is important to be at. But it gave me a little bit more flexibility with what kind of job I wanted to go into. Because it's definitely not a strict office job, which is not what I wanted. So that's why I've been holding back on the signing up for the Patrick Henry Half, which is the week before Labor Day right here in the center of the universe. So once I get in working regularly and know what my August schedule is going to be, I might be able to do, or at least I'll be able to request at least that Saturday off, and that's what I'll plan to do. So, but there is a chance I will not be running it. Just depends on how flexible, I guess, my new position is going to be, what's allowed when you're that new. And I know that would be to the dismay of several, namely probably Alshon Bob, because he's the one that has announced that that's what we're training for on Saturday mornings. And so that's what the plan is. That's going to be the next race. And then same deal with the schedule. If I can do the Richmond Half, I'll do that. And I think I've already signed up for the Richmond Half. I think I did the early bird. I might have done the early bird thing next year, last year after I finished. I have to check on that. I don't remember. But I will probably not be pacing that again this year, just because I can't commit to that at this point. So not much going on the running front. It's just been these little boring 3 milers, which are quick. I don't really get to listen to a whole podcast. I have started listening to one called Small Town Dicks, which is about some case studies and police work with some humor thrown in. And sometimes I'm not even able to listen to the whole thing because the run, I don't even run long enough. And I don't put earbuds in when I'm lifting weights. I just don't do that. I don't carry a phone around with me when I'm in the weight room like some people do. So the future of the podcast for the summer really is going to be the monthly thing. I'm not able to get one out quicker than that. I know there are those that like to listen to it, and I got a whole crap load of the quality's high, good load of listener emails for this show, which I'll be getting to here in just a few minutes, because that's going to round out the end of the show and give me a whole bunch of new stuff to talk about, which is usually what happens with the listener emails. So if you're new to the podcast and you've listened this far, which you probably haven't if you're new, but I would encourage you to go back and listen to lots of other shows first. But you can reach me at ashlanddave@gmail.com. That's ashlanddave@gmail.com. I don't do a whole lot of the social media with the podcast at this point. I might, as now that I'm free from public service and free from a lot of the rules governing that, might get back into that a little bit more. But I don't like to get too dependent on it, and I don't really like a whole lot of the censorship that's going on with some of the platforms like Twitter and Facebook. Not really sure what's going on with that. I know they're private companies, but I don't want to rely on something so much that that somebody could easily shut me down without any recourse. But that's just my opinion, which I share from time to time if you're a new listener. So that's pretty much it for the content of the show. Stay tuned for listener emails, which I'm going to get to here in just a second when I get back to my computer. Thanks for listening, and let's check out the email bag section of the show. Okay, I'm now back in my podcast studio, which consists of my kitchen counter here in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia. Make sure you stick around to the end of the show. I've got a special recording at the end if you're
you're either work in public safety or know how public safety works when someone signs off for the last time. That'd be a special treat there. I'll put that on the end of the podcast. So what I did with the email bag is I had to start with the dates of emails from the last show, which was May 12th. So I'm going to start with May 14th. I did have some emails in the bag that were before that. I think I did mention those in the last show, but I'll just kind of work through these. I appreciate everybody that emails me. A lot of this is just kind of some comments on the race and retirement, but I did get a nice one from Snuggy Bear. He's one of my crew. He's prepared a spreadsheet for me looking at all my the pacing for the 100 miler. He had some feedback. His recollection was that I arrived at the end around 12:50 a.m. He recorded it as 1:07 a.m. You know, 17 minutes difference is really in the course of a 100-mile attempt is very little. But he had suggested a prescription wipe for sweaty feet called sweathelp.org/hyperhidrosis-treatment/blah-blah-blah. Which it's a name that I can't pronounce. He also thinks maybe I was suffering from trench foot. And Keith, another listener, had commented on a book that I should get, which I do have. I don't know what my problem is. It's not the fact. It's a combination of extreme pain in the feet and worrying that once the skin breaks open, I'm going to be debilitated after the race. Now, there might be a day where I go through and I go through that anyway, if I don't have to go to a job anymore. But while I'm married and while my wife still relies on me, I'm pretty sure I got to figure out a solution. So, John, I appreciate your email. I really do. I'm going to look at that a little more carefully as time goes on. All right, I also heard from Thomas Mueller, who I've been emailing back and forth with for several years about all kinds of stuff involving ultra running and endurance events. He's a finisher of several hundred milers, so anytime he sends me advice, I definitely listen to it. He sent me an audio clip through the SpeakPipe feature, which if you go to ashlanddave.podbean.com and look over on the right-hand side of the screen, you can send a voice message and I'll put it on the podcast if that's your wish. I do ask that you just kind of keep them to a minute or two. Otherwise, it kind of drags on a little bit, if you know what I mean. But anyway, let's listen to Thomas's. He sent along a really nice audio clip.
Dave, hi. Tom Mueller calling from Appalachian State University. Listen to your podcast about going the 70 miles and really respect you for your decision regarding your feet. We've communicated prior. I've had the same problem. Out of 900-mile finishes, I only finished one where my feet were in halfway decent shape at the finish. Other DNFs were just like yours, based on terrible damage to my feet. Some people are born with good ultra feet, some are not. I was always jealous of those who would be skipping around after 100 mile in their flip-flops when my feet were turned to hamburger. So it's not worth it. I'm with you, pal. It's not worth tearing up your feet and being crippled. And I've done that in the past. Probably regret it looking back, and I think we just have to be good with it. So if you're born with feet that can take the ultras and that's not an issue, it's quite a gift. All right, thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
And I truly agree there at the end when he said about if you have the type of feet that just don't, you know, can take the abuse. You know, I've seen people out on the course who their stomach can't take it, and I haven't had that problem before. Well, I've had to stop any ultra marathon because of a stomach issue, and who knows if I would have experienced that or not past the 70-mile mark. I don't know that. All I know is that my feet are the problem at the moment, or at least they have been for the real long stuff. Not at a 50-mile, but, you know, beyond that. So it's something I'll work on and contemplate and listen to others. And I've gotten lots of input and advice on it. And Thomas, of course, I appreciate any comments that you make. Heard from Keith Mason. He says, I can't call myself an ordinary male to pack no bite anymore because he says even 70 miles is a long way. And he had mentioned the book Fixing Your Feet by John Bonhoeff. And I do have that book. Matter of fact, I had two copies of it at one time by accident, and I gave one of those away. But Keith says that digression is the better part of valor, which I tend to agree with there, Keith, and I appreciate the email. I got another one from you here. Let's see. He also listens to Trail Runner Nation podcast, and the people that run that podcast seem to feel that the XO Skin socks really help prevent blisters. And I do believe I got some of those for my retirement from Ashland Tom, if I'm not mistaken. And I have been wearing those. I have not run anything long in them yet, but that doesn't mean I won't be soon. Thanks, Keith. I appreciate the emails. Also heard from Dirt Dog, who used to run the Dirt Dog's Running Diatribe podcast. Mike from Michigan still listens to the show, and he had a very, very short email. It just said, best line of the race recap is, quote, there will be another 100. He said he loves that. Congrats on the retirement. Look forward to some tales from the road. And I wish Mike would start his podcast up again, but I know that he is in a very busy career and got his kids are involved in all kinds of stuff, and he's a real busy dad and busy husband. But and he used to have a really cool podcast. Miss it, Mike. I really do, but I appreciate the email. Of course, I heard from Dr. Smitty, Dr. Smitty came to our retirement party, which was a complete throwdown. It was awesome. It was well over 200 people. Just a really good time. Greg, appreciate you being there. It's good to see you. I don't know if you're coming up for the Patrick Henry half or not. It's still up in the air, as you heard earlier in the show, if I'm going to be doing that or not. I know, Bob, I know you don't like to hear that, but I just can't commit until I find out what my schedule is going to be, which, of course, I'm going to ask for that day to be clear, but we'll just have to wait and see. So Dr. Smitty checks in on a regular basis, and Greg, I appreciate hearing from you. Heard from Shelly, who's from Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, firefighter, and she says I'm being too hard on myself in reference to the 100-mile attempt. She thought I did the right thing, and my wife would have killed me if I went on got hurt. This is probably the best part of her email, was that it was a DNF, which in her mind stands for did nothing fatal. And yeah, Shelly, I've heard that before. I really do appreciate that. And yeah, I think you retired yourself, if I'm not mistaken, because the nature of your email seemed to make me think that you had already been across that retirement and public service. So, yeah, I really appreciate that. Also, I'll let the rest of her email just be personal between you and me. Appreciate it, Shelly. I really do appreciate you sending that in. This is actually from my wife, Monica, but it's from somebody else. I don't know if I ever talked about the flagpoles at Woodland Cemetery. There's a lady in town named Susan who takes care of Woodland Cemetery, which is has a lot of veterans buried in it, Confederate veterans as well as regular later war veterans. And Ashland, Bob, and I run through that cemetery quite a bit because it's got a nice huge loop in there, and we're allowed to do that. I did clear that with Susan. In fact, she appreciates people going through there and keeping an eye on things. And one day we went through there and noticed that the state flag had got hung up in a tree. The cleat had broken off the flagpole. I can't remember if I put this in the podcast or not, but I'll just briefly summarize it. Bob and I were able to get the flag out of the tree. We were able to get the cleat. The cleat was broken off the pole, but we were able to secure the rope to the pole in a temporary method. And we had already mentioned that, notified Susan that the flag had been stuck up in the tree, but I can't stand seeing a flag stuck up in a tree like that, because I've actually seen that flag on over top of a state trooper's coffin, and so it just, you know, it's just more of a symbol for me. So we got the flag out of the tree and realized that the flagpoles really needed some work because they were breaking in the concrete stand that they were in, and had a lot of wear and tear, and it looked like they needed to be replaced, and Susan was aware of that. Well, she sent an email to my wife because they're friends, and it says, please let Dave know the new flagpole has been installed and the others will be removed with the help of a crane next month. And Bob and I went through there, and those flagpoles look outstanding. I just wanted to put that in the podcast because I wouldn't say they were being neglected on purpose, but it seemed like it was going a couple of weeks longer than it should have. And that's why we went in there and did what we did without really asking anybody. And anyway, it all worked out. Just turned out that they were trying to get a lift in there. I'm not being critical or anything like that. I just didn't know the whole story. But it's really cool. If you ever happen to be in the Ashland area, definitely drive through Woodland Cemetery. There have recently been a bunch of Confederate burial area. There's an area in the back that's been recently documented, and there's a lot of veterans from the Civil War buried back there that have recently been found, and it's actually pretty cool. That's a whole separate story. We did the cemetery tour with Susan, and she's so knowledgeable. It's just incredible. So, Monica, thank you for that email. Also heard from Richard Yarp down in the Woodlands, Texas. It's been a long time since checked in. Turns out he's actually running good again. He had I know he had a health problem, and he's it turned out he had 90% blockage of one of his arteries, which really could have resulted in something pretty bad. Richard, he does the events down there in the Woodlands, Texas, and I think his daughter just graduated from college from medical school, and is going to be she's doing a medical residency in psychiatry in Little Rock after graduating medical school, and that's what triggered his email, because I had mentioned I was down in Little Rock. Richard, good to hear from you, man. I hope that you're doing well, and I really hope that your health gets back, because, you know, life is awfully short, as you know, and we just had a little scare here recently. A good close family friend had a heart attack and had to have open heart surgery, and I think the man's 54 or 55, and so that's pretty scary. He's got two kids in college, one in high school, and just too young, too early to go. And so anyway, I'm glad that you're still with us, Richard. I'm glad that you didn't actually have a heart attack. That would have been definitely awful. And so got another one from Thomas. Let's see. We're talking about getting a new running partner. And he said he did a climb. One time he was doing a race, and he was trying to get away from a guy that just kept running with him that he didn't want to run with anymore. He said he was draining me out. He was treating the aid station workers like crap, and he did a climb out of an aid station, and the guy was yelling for him to wait for him. And, you know, what do you do in those situations when you're doing an ultra and you come up and you get with somebody? Because it happened to me in one of the ultras that I did, and turned out that the person I was running with was somewhat known in the ultra running community, but had such a foul mouth. Not that that really bothered me, but it was just it was just a very negative thing, and I needed some positive at that point in time. And I did the old hiding in the Porta John thing, and then the person found me again, and eventually split up after about another half hour. But I was just curious, how do you always handle stuff like that? I'm just kind of throwing that out as a rhetorical question, without being, you know, frankly, just being rude to somebody. Sometimes you do want to be by yourself. Other times you want to be with other people. And what if you're the person sometimes that someone's trying to get rid of? Do you pick up on those things in the course of an ultra, or do you just kind of ignore that or not pick up on those things because it's a different type of social situation? I don't know. Thomas had a really good perspective on that. There's obviously a little bit more to his email than I can at liberty to share in the podcast. But Thomas, good discussion on that. Heard from Tim of Chattanooga. He says, I'm also being too humble. I'm not a middle-of-the-pack runner anymore. I'm a true ultra beast. I will definitely take that title. It's all a matter of perspective. He says you're doing something you love, so it doesn't really matter what your finishing time is. And he says that I probably did make a prudent decision to pull out of the race based on the circumstances at the time. So, yeah, appreciate it, Tim. You know, in hindsight, you still feel like, you know, you feel so stronger later after you think back from it. However, in the moment, all you can do is just think of getting rid of the pain. And I've talked with Ashland Tom some since then, and, you know, he's asked me if I've, have I thought about it? I said, yeah, of course I have, but I guess what I want is to be available to my family more than I want the finishing buckle. But someday that might change if I don't need to be so available to my family in an immediate way, and I can work through the pain, get to the finish, and then recover from injury. But I would need somebody probably to take care of me, because my feet would just be wrecked. Again, I offer the picture to anyone who wants to see it from the North Face 50 miler, my first 50 mile finish, where I literally macerated the bottoms of my feet to the point where I was on crutches for 2 weeks. I went from finishing the 50 miler to not being able to walk basically for 2 weeks. I offer those pictures to anybody that wants them at ashlanddave@gmail.com. You'll see what I'm talking about, what I cannot, I am not allowed to repeat. If once you see those pictures, you'll realize what I'm talking about. So I offer that out there. Also got, heard from Costi. Costi is, I forget where he's from. We have exchanged several emails over the course of the last couple of years. The most recent one was he said he just wanted to still enjoying the podcast. He's done Horton's Promise Land 50K times two. So this was actually the last time we talked was 2 years ago. So he's done 250. I think what I told him was he was asking me about the David Horton races. Have I done any? I had not, but the closest I came was crewing for a friend at Mount Mascus, and I did meet David Horton during the pre-race talk at that. He was there, and he's usually there. He's just not the race director anymore. So he did also Terrapin 50 this year, Terrapin 50K, a couple other Mount 50Ks, 150 miler, which he called the West Virginia Trilogy, where he was a DLF, and he put in parentheses on a sabotaged course. Anyway, keep at it. I want to try 100 miler sometime. So my question back to Costi was, what was the sabotaged course? So I might do my own little bit of research on that to see what that entails. Costi, give me an email back at ashlanddave@gmail.com. Let me know what that means, but I'm going to do a little checking on that. I just did a quick search on it. All I could see was that the trilogy is a three-day series of races, which is what his email was referring to. I couldn't find anything about it on a sabotage course. I didn't dig too deep, though, because I'm in the middle of producing the show. But Costi, give me an email back. Let me know what that's all about. I'm very curious. I'm looking back here. Maybe someone took down course markings after a short 1 mile stretch of the road. After I'm looking through some of your emails from. Oh yeah, you just sent me one. This was from 13 minutes ago. Okay, I'm gonna put this in there. He said someone took down course markings after a short 1 mile stretch of the road that came after the final aid station, about 3.5 miles from the finish. The streamers marked the final climb to the finish. So he missed the trailhead, kept running. 50 turned into 53 as he hunted for the trail. And the race director finally came out to find him as he ran up and down the road looking for the trailhead after dusk. Wow. Nice guy. Showed me where it was and allowed me to finish it up. Good story. Would have hated not finishing my first 50-miler. I got that email just now in real time, just a few minutes ago. Not quite real time. That was pretty cool. So that's what the sabotage course was. And as he said in his email, he would have hated not finishing his first 50-miler. And yeah, I know how that is, because I was able to finish mine, but boy, that was hard. So yeah, that would have sucked. At least you didn't get hurt. But getting lost in the woods or along a road, not being able to find a trailhead when it's starting to get dark, can turn into a potentially dangerous situation if you don't know which way to go or where the trailhead is, and no one's out looking for you. But it sounds like the race director was doing his job and was out looking for you. So that's a thank you for the email, Costi. I appreciate it. Hope you continue to listen to the podcast, stay engaged in it. That was a quick run through of the email bag section of the show. That was really the most content I had. I guess half the show was the email bag this time. I will continue to run. I'll continue to try to develop material as I run and encounter things. The litter bug situation is still developing. I think I mentioned that maybe in the previous show. Things didn't move as quickly as I had hoped with our local authorities on that. However, it is still working. I do have faith that the system will work, but I am no longer, today is my last day on the county payroll. Today is my last day as a sworn law enforcement officer. I actually already had my retirement credentials. I got those on Wednesday during a luncheon, which was really cool. Anyway, those are stories that will come up in future shows. Again, this summer I'll get one out a month, maybe a little bit more often. It's just so hard with everything I got going on. But anyway, this is Ashland Dave. I'm reminding you to run to the finish, keep on running. Don't forget to hug your kids. Y'all have a good week, and I'll talk to you later.
44 to Hanover.
Car 44.
After 27 years service, I'm 1042 for the last time. Thank you.
10-4, sir. Thank you. 15-10 hours.
405, I copy that. 506, copy.
507, copy.
29, thank you for your service.
199, a pleasure. 130, 140, good times. Good times.
39, good luck to you.
273, I copy.
183, advice.
36, good luck.
180, I copy, 1511 hours.
700, Godspeed.
59, it was a pleasure.
204, it was a pleasure.
44, I copy all those responses. Thank you.